Hawks fans, how you doing? It's your boy Jonathan Macri with you for a fresh episode of NBA Takedown, coming at you live a little bit earlier than usual. It's because I have an interview for Knicks Film School that I could not move, but I promise you that'll be worth it. Stay tuned. Here we are, 11 a.m. It's Christmas week and other holidays for other people who celebrate different things. I'm somewhat in the Christmas spirit right now. I could be more in the Christmas spirit. I think after today, maybe I got to get some eggnog in my system. I know Sean knows about that, so I will say hello to him first. Hi, Sean. How are you?
Hello, everyone. Happy Christmas week again. Merry Christmas to everyone who celebrates, and happy holidays to anyone who's celebrating holidays this in this time. Yes, I'm all about eggnog, especially when you add a spirit to it, particularly one that is brown that starts with an H. And I'm not saying the name because they're not cutting us any checks, but if you want to cut us checks, inquire within.
During the NBA Cup watch along, I said to Sean I would have said brown spirit with eggnog, and I poured myself a glass, and then after I poured myself a glass, it didn't look right, and then I looked and the eggnog had expired 8 days earlier. And I was like, all right, let me just try it, because like 8 days like means different things for different food products. I was like, let me give it a sip. Gave it a sip. It was not what you wanted. I'll just leave it at that.
Brother, eggnog has milk in it. You can't drink.
What's the furthest you've gone past the expiration date for milk while drinking it? I've gone like 3-4 days past.
One.
What question One? Is that, brother? Yeah,
what? See, this is, again, we come from two different worlds, because you believe the idiot that is like, you got to throw out Thanksgiving leftovers 48 hours later.
No, I didn't say I believe it. I'm with you. I just said it can't be a week, but no, milk.
Take seriously. Okay.
The milk, dude, that'll mash up your stomach, man.
The way my stomach is set up.
Yeah, dog. Like,
you might get 24 hours from me if I really need it. Otherwise, bye-bye.
One time when I was a kid, I made myself cereal with milk that expired 40 hours later, but I didn't realize it.
Okay.
And I'm drinking it, and I'm like, yo, wait a minute. This tastes funny. Like, and I looked, I saw it expired. I was like, oh my God.
No, so it milk.
Eight days is nuts. I'm sorry.
That's insane.
The cow can't even get that out of their udders after 8 days, bro. They're like, yo, you need a new batch. I need a new batch.
Coagulates.
Yeah.
I didn't say hi to you yet, Jeff. Jeff, nice.
Well, hi. That's a great way to say hi, telling me you're drinking eight-day-old egg. And then on top of that, it's not just milk, bro.
Jeff
it's
froze the eggnog. Because he's in shock.
It's the eggnog.
I took that's two like, sips. Oh, man. I took
you
two
you
sips.
Must have a stomach of steel. Like, if you can take that.
I do. I've done multiple, like, hot sauce challenges and lived to tell the tale.
So you did the one chip?
No, I haven't done the one chip. Because my cousin, shout out to as a cousin by marriage, Johnny Martinez in Tennessee. He's an insane person. He'll eat like a whole, I think he may have, no, ghost I don't think peppers. He ate a habanero.
Ghost peppers and all of that?
He's tried a lot of wacky shit. He did the one chip challenge and his family got it on video. And I saw that video and that was enough for me to not do the one chip challenge.
I need a shirt that says I survived the one chip challenge. Because like to increase the level of difficulty, I did it at work. We filmed it as content at BR. And I immediately regret that decision. Let's just say I was immobilized for about 90 minutes.
So that's like, what
I
my
could
next
not go home.
That's what my next we have a lot to get to in a short amount of time. So I'm gonna make this quick. When me and my wife were engaged, we stopped at I think I've told this story before, a wing place in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, because we were driving Sean to go see a game in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. But not a Steeler game. I think we were going to see a Pirates game, but we were also going to just hang out in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And they had over 1,000 flavors of wings on the menu, and then like a separate menu just of hot wings. And I had, I think it was the eighth hottest wing of the 30 hot wings. And I was more or less incapacitated until the following morning.
Wow.
I
it's a beautiful hat, by the way, Sean.
Thank you very much.
It is. Oh wow, you're wearing the Cup Champions hat. It looks good.
Yes. Did you buy it at? Did you buy it at the Garden or did you?
I bought it at the Garden because this was the last one.
I bet. Mine is going to get here in 2026, kind of like the banner.
I was about to say your cup hat might get here by the time they play the next NBA Cup.
Well, by the time they put up the banner, who knows which one is going to come first?
I got to guess. Pick me. All right, let's get some quick takes off with the takeoff.
2-1-0 ignition liftoff.
We're going to do a fast one of these today because we got Christmas presents to hand out across the league. I just mostly wanted to include this segment because I do have a very strong take that I did not realize how passionate I felt about this until I watched the Sixers defeat my beloved Knicks on Friday night at Madison Square Garden. I hate the fact that the Sixers have nice things. I hate the fact that they have this team that is now so much fun to watch and so much fun to root for. VJ Edgecombe, I don't know if he's the best rookie. I think he's the most fun rookie, right? Is there a more fun rookie than Edgecombe? Depending on your...
Derek Queen.
Oh, Queen's fun.
Yeah. But
we got Edgecombe fun rookies. That's a good take. Yeah. We got some fun rookies this year.
Yeah, we do. And
Flagg just looks like he's at work, but he's having fun at work. but everybody else is having all right time.
Well, I mean, listen, if you were playing for the Mavs this year, you might feel the same way. But yeah, they have this beautiful thing going, and I feel very strongly that franchise should be in jail for decades because they signed the two worst contracts in the league at the time. At the moment. And you should be penalized for giving Joel Embiid and Paul George lots of money. And they did not get penalized. They have this fun young team now. And I hate it. I just hate it. It makes me very upset and angry. That's my take.
Look, man, I thought you were going, because you said it was Sixers related before the show. I thought you were going that Sixers fans are getting a little bit too happy about that win on Friday.
You pay more attention to that shit than I do because you're in all the spaces.
Well, this is not even from spaces. I'm trying to do a better job of curating my timeline to get rid of these blue check engagement baiters.
How's that working out for you?
I'm doing a lot of, let's just say there's a lot of accounts in Orlando that will never see my timeline again and they have no idea. But this team might be going on a run and win the East.
No, they're a fun team.
But they're people are getting a little bit ahead of their britches. Like, it's just like who is it? Aiden Dock. He said, Paul George struggling, no Embiid, is still in the game against the Knicks. And he has the Will Ferrell this. And I'm like, listen, man, that game didn't count for it. Like, most sane people in the fan base are like, listen, one of those games is going to be a schedule loss, either Indiana or Philly.
Yes.
That was a schedule loss. We move.
I was happy the schedule loss came against the Sixers than the Pacers. I would have been very upset if we lost to the Pacers. Jeff, you got any takes you want to get off?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what this large chasm is between OKC, Denver, and Houston and the contending teams in the East, because I watched Houston give it up filthy against the Sacramento Kings.
Did you watch the whole game?
I did not watch the whole game. I saw the clips of what happened in regulation and OT. I looked out my window. It was a clear night. And there was a purple haze coming into my window that I haven't seen in a minute. What the hell is that? And as I looked up in the sky towards the west, I saw and realized it was the beam. The beam has been lit once again in Sacramento. Yep. And I'm not trying to say that OKC, I still think OKC is the class of the league, right? But Denver and Houston, I think they get social promotion looped in with OKC because they're in the West and because they're the clear threats to the Thunder because they're in the same conference. So if they're two of the teams that you feel are heads and shoulders above the rest, then by default, once again, I think they're being elevated by default because I've watched the NBA Cup champion New York Knicks. Hell, I've watched the Pistons. I've watched some of these other scrappy teams.
Orlando. Sean hates it.
I've watched the South Florida basketball, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out why these teams are being, I'll leave OKC in their own class. I'm trying to figure out, what is it that y'all are seeing that I'm not seeing that you're elevating Denver and Houston above the Knicks like that, that the gap is so wide? I really don't think that's the case. You could call me a homer. You can say whatever you want. But I've watched these teams hoop, and I see the flaws in everyone's squad. And I also see the fact that there's one team that's still elevating and a couple of teams that look like, I don't know how you can get any better than what you're showing me right now.
So I'm going to lean back on my old lawyering days. It's supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. And it feels like the West teams are innocent until proven guilty, where for the Knicks and some of these East teams, it's guilty until proven innocent. And it's the wrong way. And like, you look at this Houston team, and I didn't catch the first half. I had it on as I was writing my newsletter after the Knicks game. And then I was locked in for the last few minutes of regulation and overtime. Like, sometimes it is that simple. Like, Houston does not have a quote unquote true point guard, and lo and behold, they have blown pretty much all of their clutch games this year. It's like, it's kind of a problem, because guess what you have to play in the playoffs? Clutch games. I love that take, Jeff. That might be my favorite takeoff take from you of this year. That's really good.
Yeah, shout out to Schwinny from the Strickland. He had posted something, because I guess podcasters are going out just making it a foregone conclusion. Because you know what it is? They don't believe. And that's okay. We've been here before. They don't believe what they're seeing. I mean, hell, some of us that still don't believe what they're seeing. And I also think there's a narrative that's starting to build that one of these major teams needs to make the Giannis trade to shake things up and create, generate interest in the league. And they're trying to put that bag on the Knicks, because anytime there's a major star, especially the one who said, I want to go here, they're trying to force it. It's like they're trying to manifest this trade. And this could be a hot take. I don't think the Knicks should do it. Not now. I think the Knicks should steer clear. Steer clear.
I don't think it's that hot of a take.
Steer clear.
It's not that hot of a take, even though it's hot on the surface, but you peel back a layer and it's like actually kind of lukewarm.
Yeah, it's like microwaving dinner. If you don't leave it in for too long, you're going to have to keep running it back and running it back.
When you put that soup in, and then it's like the very top of the soup is hot, but right. Then you go for the spoonful, and it's like, no, this needs to go back in. That's a really good one, Sean. You're ready to go, man, for Christmas week. You're in the holiday spirit. All right, Sean, any take you want to get off before we start giving out presents?
So funny, my take was going to be, I don't understand why Houston was grouped in as this clear-cut top three team.
That's the sixth place Houston Rockets.
Yeah, they're in sixth.
I thought they were third or second. Everybody be talking. So I'm not really checking the standings that.
Shout out to Chris Barnett from Hoop Spaces. I was in this space earlier today, and we were talking about how they're in trouble. And I looked, I was like, they're in sixth. And I saw they've in their last 10 games, they've lost five of them, including they've lost to Utah, Dallas, New Orleans, and Sacramento. In the last 2 weeks, according to Cleaning the Glass, they are ninth in offense and 24th in defense, which is a problem for a team coached by Ime Udoka, who is Tom Thibodeau in a 10-gallon hat. But yeah, 24th in 20, because I said this, you know, that
I had no idea they were that bad in defense.
Yeah, last two weeks, 24th in defense efficiency, Cleaning the Glass. Like,
yeah.
And not that I think they're bad, but I just think it's just interesting that they just tie them in. Like, people just pencil them in as, like, I can understand OKC is to prove him guilty. I could understand Denver because they have Jokic and they look better than last year. But Houston, I just never, even when we did our rankings, like, I think I project them to be like fifth or sixth, because you're depending on Kevin Durant at 37 years old and he has to play defense now. We've seen what happens when he asks Kevin Durant to play defense, affect the offense, whatever. So
if you are an NBA team in the year of our Lord Baby Jesus, 2025, soon to be 2026, and you cannot shoot the three, I'm sorry, eventually you're going to run into a fucking problem. And it seems like the Houston Rockets, you know, are currently running into a bit of a problem. I'm sure they're going to be fine. They're still going to win 50 games.
Oh, we'll see where they finish. It's a long season, but if for those who are checking, the West currently has three teams under 500 in their top 10. The East has one.
That was my favorite of Sean's takes this year when the East versus West thing. And that's that thing I hope is still getting traction, because every time I look at the standings and I'm looking at like, what's the record of the team that's eighth in the West? Like, how many games under 500 are they?
Dude, someone tried to tell me, respond to that comments like, this is why this proves that the West is better than the East. And I'm like, wait a minute. Before, it used to be when the 10th seed was like 39-43, it was, this is why the West is better. But now that the West seed is 39-43, this is why the West is better. It's SEC SEC football BS.
You know what this is? This is the East we hear season. This is the East we hear season.
We are here and we are now here to give out, look what I literally didn't plan this out, but my wife left this here under my desk because I guess we've run out of places to hide presents in the house.
Oh man,
it's Santa's sack, everybody.
Hey. That's hilarious. What,
that's, I, well, that, yeah,
I don't even want to know where you're going with that one,
I don't either. I don't either.
Yeah, if only I had like NBA themed presents to pull out of the sack. I don't even know what's in there. It's like kids' toys. All right, so we're going to hand out presents for the rest of the episode. I was feeling generous today, even though I have a feeling this generosity is going to be short-lived given some of the things that I have to hand out. So we're giving things across the league. We're giving things to teams. We're giving things to players. We're giving things to fan bases. We're giving whatever we want to give out. And so, no, I left it very general. We talked about some categories beforehand. I have a bunch ready to go. I figured we'd just do round robin style.
Okay.
And I have one that I would like to start off with. And I think I feel pretty strongly about this. And I'm going to start off with the spirit. Again, the spirit of generosity, spirit of positivity. And like, I'm not going to make any snarky. Well, I guess maybe a little bit of snark with this one. I would like to give the top pick in the 2020-26 NBA draft to the Washington Wizards, because there is no sadder sack NBA franchise than the Washington Wizards right now. They have the least amount of wins in the league. I know they have played some spirited competitive games, but I actually respect the way that they have gone about their tanking the last few years, as opposed to the more shameless variety of tanking that has rewarded some other franchises around the league that makes me a little bit more sick to my stomach. The Wizards have not made a conference finals. Sean, check me on this, since
79. Yep.
Okay, so we're coming up on 50 years, 5-0. They have some intriguing young talent. I like some of their young talent. They just need one centrifugal force to kind of hold it all together. And I would just like to see them, you know, get that in the draft, because I feel like Wizards, it's a good basketball city too. That's the other thing. Like, I'm gonna get to another basketball city in a while. It's not a good basketball city. But that's what I would like to be my first gift that I'm giving out.
That's nice of you. I think
I said I'm going to be kind. I'm going to start off on a nice note.
Yeah, I truly believe that the first pick is going to go to the Indiana Pacers, because I just follow basketball and I know how this works.
And see, that's what that would not be a gift.
It wouldn't be a gift, but no, it would be the greatest gift to them. Even
well,
though
to them it would.
They've actually never won the lottery ever.
I don't even think they've had the highest pick in their history. Was it like, Rick Smith's? I'm gonna look that
like
up.
Yeah, six or something like that. But yeah, that's fair. Like. And I think this is the last year of this tanking garbage for them. And like next year they could like try to like win some games and get to the 10th seed. Cause to your point, I've said this for years. I said this years ago, there are three sleeping giants in the NBA. If they ever got their stuff together, they'd be a problem. And it was New York, Atlanta, and Washington.
There you go.
Washington is a basketball city who loves basketball, and they deserve to have a good team.
1988 NBA draft, the Pacers pick Rick Smith second. Top five of that draft: Danny Manning, Rick Smith, Charles Smith, Chris Morris, don't know who that is, and Mitch Richmond.
New Jersey Nets legend Chris Morris.
I must have been asleep for that.
Yeah.
Wow, he was with the Nets for a long time. Okay. Yeah. Well, good for Chris Morris. All right, Sean, you want to go next?
Sure. I'm going to be generous also to a team in the Eastern Conference. And I would give a, if I'm feeling generous, I would give a legitimate number two scoring option or a legitimate offensive creator to the Detroit Pistons, because without one of those, they're not winning jack.
That went from generosity to mean-spiritedness.
Well, it's like they need – how many times have we talked about the Lauri Markkanen trade they need to do? You know, at the end of the day, like Jeff, you're the one that said it in our group chat. Like, they're the 23-24 Knicks. They're the spring 2024 Knicks, mm-hmm. which is just Jalen Brunson and a bunch of guys or whatever. Like, this is cool. This can't – maybe can work over 82 games, but when – I don't think this team can get away with depending on Duncan Robinson, Tobias Harris to help them win a playoff series. They might win one. They're not going to win two. So to be generous, I will say, you know what? I would gift you a legitimate number two scoring option.
An effective field goal percentage. Currently, the Detroit Pistons rank 17th in the league.
Yeah, like, that's it's literally save us Cade, and that's not fair to him.
Yeah, I mean, the two best offensive rebounding teams in the league are your aforementioned beloved Houston Rockets, and Detroit is number two, which is how they're kind of, and they get to the line a lot, but like you have to shoot it eventually. I don't want that present to be delivered on Christmas morning. Sean or Jeff, what do you got? What's your first present you want to hand out?
Are we sticking in the East or can
you can do whatever you want? There's no order to this. We're just is whatever we pull out of our sack.
This is more of a white elephant gift. That's crazy. That is absolutely inside. We are reviewing that current comment to see if it meets the criteria for a flagrant foul.
It's a caucus.
We gotta go to Secaucus. Let me get on the hood.
Speed up this review, man. This review's dragging it down. Come on.
Where's Joey Crawford, bro? Joey Crawford, you missed your moment, bro. You should have stayed a little bit longer. We needed you on the end. Imagine Joey Crawford reviewing plays.
Oh my God.
10 minutes. 10 minutes of real time. Getting ready for him to prepare his speech. But yeah, this would be more like a white elephant gift.
Okay.
Bring the Sonics back, bro. Yeah. Enough is enough. Yeah. Bring the Sonics back. You want to talk about Basketball City? Seattle is one of them ones. And they have a basketball legacy of hoopers that have come out of that city. I hate the fact that they lost their city. I think anytime folks was up in Seattle, if you were watching the NBA when Seattle was a franchise, it was rocking, man. The Pacific Northwest was rocking. I think the Seattle Storm has given you a proof of concept that basketball is still alive and kicking in Seattle and in the greater Washington area. So, yeah, if we're going to do this expansion, and I think we're at the point where there is enough talent in the world to have more NBA franchises where it's not going to dilute the product. So, when it's time for expansion, I think it should be no surprise. Like, it should be like, all right, guys, Seattle's back. And get fast-tracked back to the league, too.
So, I'd be fine with that. But I'm going to jump to one of mine because it dovetails with this. I would like to give Seattle, and they could change the name the second that it gets delivered to their doorstep. I would like to give Seattle the New Orleans Pelicans.
That was one of mine. I wrote that down.
So I'm just gonna.
I had a feeling, someone was gonna go there
because that's a real team with real players on it. And if you don't think at this point that that city is part of the issue, I'm just going to read some numbers. So earlier this month, actually, the Pelicans played the Minnesota Timberwolves, who have like one of the most exciting young stars in the game of basketball and like a good team. And it's a good watch. Game went to overtime. It was a really good game. High scoring game, 149 to 142. There were 12,770 people there to watch that in New Orleans. Capacity in that arena is like about 19,000. Defending world champion Oklahoma City Thunder came into New Orleans earlier this year. 13,700 people watched it. And just recently, the Hornets actually riding a 3-game winning streak, like the first 3-game winning streak they've had in God knows how long, and coming off a nice overtime win against the Houston Rockets, which again was at home. 16,434 people show up to see them face the Pacers. So again, several thousand under capacity. Like, man, you got a young team. Like you just talked about Derek Queen, like Jeremiah Fears. You got these wings. No one gives a shit. No one gives a shit. Get rid of this team in New Orleans. Send them someplace where it's going to matter. Send them to Seattle. Merry Christmas, Seattle.
It's a football city, bro. It's a football. It is what it is. It's the Saints. It's LSU. It's great for All-Star.
Yeah.
It's excellent for All-Star.
Have the NBA Cup final there if you want. I don't care.
You're on mute. You're on mute, Sean. But yeah, excellent idea. You want to move it from Vegas. Get New Orleans out of there and put the cup in.
Zion could still host. We'll bring Zion back just to host the weekend.
I'll tell you right now, the Pelican fans, they get big mad when you suggest this, and they're like, as long as Gail Benson owns his team, it is never. But it's like the you've seen it. Hold on,
James Dolan has owned the fucking Knicks for how many years?
27,
whatever number of years.
Yeah,
like. People have been showing, I know it's New York, but like, okay, New Orleans isn't a nothing NBA city. It's a great fucking city. Come on.
See, the thing is, it's a great city. I don't know if it's a great basketball city.
It's not. That's the point. Yeah. He's absolutely right.
But they get very mad and they're like, they're not moving and da da da. And they get very defensive. And when like another team has, and when another team has like low attendance, they're like, oh, maybe we should move them too, whatever. But it's like, to your point, the proof is in the pudding. Like, that, like you've seen the tweet about how the Pelicans, you can get a suite for 24 people at a Pelicans game next week for $750, and that includes
Knicks
parking.
Pelicans.
And I'm telling you
Knicks
something right
Pelicans,
now.
Pelicans,
$750. Are you serious?
And they're playing the Knicks, dog. If I in a different life,
dude, we would be down there. We should have planned the trip. We should have done a KFS like a whole.
But it's next week. That's the issue. Yeah. It's like
if I had known about that,
but they released it like Friday is when it started circulating. Like
right.
in a different lifestyle, in a different lifetime.
If I was single and didn't have kids,
dude, I would find Twitter. We'd get multiple suites.
Do you understand? If you got 10 people and y'all just paid $100, you would be, because food's not included. You would be able to pay for the suite and have enough to pay for them to stop, which is kind of nasty, by the way, that they don't include food in
that
the suite or drinks. But you could pay for all, everybody just drop $100. You could pay for all of that up front. And the flight isn't expensive.
It's not a crazy flight.
The hotels, you could like to do a get there the night before, stay for the game, leave the next day.
Well, you got to stay for long enough. What is the name of the place? I'm trying to, was it Willie Mays? We went to a really well-known fried chicken place when we were in New Orleans, me and my wife, Dolores.
I think we went there too. Popeyes? I can't remember the name. Oh, shoot, Popeyes is crazy. I mean, it's authentic New Orleans cuisine.
Popeyes is the best New Orleans, is the best Popeyes in the world. Seriously?
Because that's where it originated.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. They cook it with the original recipe.
They don't cook it with the remix that gets to us out here.
Oh, okay. I don't know. It was like off the beaten path, but there was like a line to get in at 11 a.m. I would do the charbroiled oysters myself, but let's keep a button in that for next year. Maybe we plan ahead next year and we get something together. If the Pelicans are still in New Orleans, Sean, what do you got? What are you giving out next?
All right. Now it's time. I was generous before. Now it's time to be snarky. I would give a flight to Turkey to the Beijing King, Jaylen Brown. So that way he doesn't have to, because now it looks like he's taking, I saw a tweet that he looks like he's taking pride in leaving black marks on the team's jerseys. So here is a flight to Turkey. Call Mo Salah. He knows a guy and hook it up.
I had written down just hair transplant surgery for Brown.
Flight to Turkey during the All-Star. During All-Star weekend, but he'll probably be in the game now.
He's gonna be in the game. He's gonna be in the freaking MVP conversation that keeps this up. That's a good gift. It's very generous of you. But I appreciate Brown trying to play it off. So it's all good. Jeff, what do you got next?
Oh no. I'm going to gift a copy of the popular workout DVD Insanity. No. To Madison Square Garcon, Gersel Yabusele.
I was going to go with a NutriBullet. I thought of this, making the same joke, but Insanity is the way to go.
Yeah. 30 days. You don't even got to do the whole 60. I did it during COVID.
Does it work?
Listen, I retired from it, bro. Like once you get to a certain age, you can't do it over and over and over again. It's good to do once. It's such an intense workout that Sean T, who created it, will do it at the top of the year, and he's dying on camera because even he doesn't have the stamina because, you know, Father Time finally said, tag, you're it. And then on top of it, he had to be in an insane, unsustainable level of shape to be able to do those workouts and to host. Like, he was like, yo, I worked out 3 times a week. He didn't really, like, he had a lean, like, you know, you were not eating carbs like that, so you don't have the energy. Yeah. But yeah, bro, you want to talk about disappointed? And this is just show y'all, we're equal opportunity here. You know, shout out to my guy, Dexter Henry, New York Got Game. Mm-hmm. We broke it down in the same way. He asked me like, oh, naughty or nice. I'm like, bro, you know, the French word for cold is charbon. And there's a lot of charbon in the stocking, bro. And it's not for a lack of trying. I won't say that. I don't think he's skating away or whatever. It just has not worked. It just hasn't worked. And I personally don't know how you come into the season out of shape after playing Eurobasket. I don't know. I don't know how that happens, but it's just maybe he's one of those, you maximize the minutes and you get more return with the more minutes you play. So yeah, it's condensed, but like, I'm trying to help you, boy. I'm my man. I'm trying to help you. Like, it just hasn't worked out. So I don't know if it's the conditioning. I don't know if it's mentality, but we'll start with Insanity and work from there and try to eliminate the possibilities.
All kidding aside, if Insanity's 30 days, like, our man did not get off the bench last night. He ain't playing right now anyway. take the next 30 days. Like, even if you're exhausted and you're like he's not, nothing's happening anyway.
Don't shoot 31% from three. How about that? Let's start there. Like, I don't need you to be in shape to shoot league average from three. Let's start there. Baby steps.
You want to be Clarence Weatherspoon. You want to be late stages.
Basically.
Hooping YMCA hoops Clarence Weatherspoon. I mean, at this point, because honestly, if he was hitting 40% from three.
Yeah, it'd be different.
He's situational. You need to come back. We put him in there and just light it up. But it just hasn't reaped the bet. Like, bro. If we got last year's Gershon Yabusele on the Knicks,
it's exactly what they need.
That's exactly what they need.
All right,
that's the same.
I'm going to go. This is going to be a easy one. I am going to gift the Men in Black neuralizer, the thing that wipes your memory for a set period of time going back in the past, to the Dallas Mavericks and their fans, specifically wow. to their fans. Because if you just wiped out any memory of Luka Doncic and that Luka Doncic was ever a member of the Mavericks, and you just had them have this team now, which is like, obviously the Anthony Davis thing is kind of sitting out there and they're kind of old and not very good, but like, they have Cooper Flagg. Like, that's great. That's awesome. You don't have to worry about what happened in the past. Just focus on this kid. You're going to probably get another lottery pick this year. God knows the West, you might finish freaking seventh or eighth. And it's all great. And as long as you don't remember how you got here. So that's my gift to Dallas's fans.
That's a generous gift because that's it's been a rough go for them. So
like, they could watch Dick games and enjoy Jalen Brunson without thinking anything of it. They could enjoy Lakers games and watch this great Luka Doncic guy and just think he's been with the Lakers his entire career.
And so wonder, what if you teamed them two up? What would the team like that look like?
it,
Dog, I'm not.
This is why they need a normalizer.
Yeah, I'd be sick, bro. I'd be absolutely sick.
Mike, listen, former Mets pitcher turned broadcaster and great Dallas Mavericks, content or Dallas sports content person, Mike Bassick. Like, he DM'd me, I think around like the day after the trade or something, and he's like, "I'm out. I just can't do it anymore." He's out.
I couldn't believe him. I understand.
Yeah. Rough stuff. Who's up, Sean? Who are you going to give to?
All right, so I'm going to. I'm surprised that no one has taken the low hanging fruit of a new owner for the Sacramento Kings.
So can I? Okay, go and then I'll finish up.
But I'm not. I'm actually not going to pick that. I'm going to go in a different direction, and I would give a gift card for meditation classes to all of the coaches of the teams in the Northwest Division, so they know how to deal with the bullshit that Oklahoma City gets away with.
I was about to look up. I was like, do I have to look up the Northwest Division?
Is Minnesota, Denver, OKC, obviously, Utah, and Portland. And I get to them because they're going to play them four times a year. And Chris Finch can't afford to be like, he can't afford to lose his shit.
35 grand's like, he can afford, Chris Finch can afford.
But it's grand. Actually like, it's actually kind of like gaslighting that you're like, all right, like the NBA is trying to tell you that like what we're seeing doesn't happen. I've seen people on the internet, on the timeline, particularly one small market sympathizer who I will not mention, but his name is whatever. His name rhymes with Rat Roar, and talking about how the data does not show that Oklahoma City has any, like, dog, come on, man. Come on. Like, it is clear. If you watch these games, it is clear as day that if you breathe on shade, it's a foul. And on defense, they play the, they can't call everything.
Yeah.
So it's going to beat you over the head for 2x4. So I want Will Hardy and Chris Finch and David Adelman and Tiago Splitter to take some meditation classes, and so they don't lose any more money because they lose their shit in a game after after Alex Caruso beat someone over the head for 2x4 and there's no call.
How about, can we, it's 2025, almost 26. We have AI writing movie scripts and like all this shit. How about we gift the NBA AI refs? I'm actually not even really fucking around. Like, what? I remember the conversation about baseball and umpires several years ago where like the old heads were like, no, it's tradition. You need, and they went to like essentially video, right?
Yes, they did. Yes.
Like, I understand it would be really difficult and you'd probably have to have all kinds of cameras and different shit. But like, what is so sacred about having three referees in an NBA game? Why can't it just be? I'm not even kidding.
I don't think the issue is the quality of officiating. I think it's what they're told to emphasize and not emphasize. Like,
yes, but Sean, you just said it. It's what they are told. It's the fucking rules.
Yes.
The rules are the rules. You shouldn't be told to be emphasizing anything or not, you know, or not. It's just, a call is a foul is a foul, and something that's not a foul is not a foul. Like, technology is where it is. Somebody asked me this question. How far away from that, this, what I'm suggesting, actually being feasible? That's what I want to know.
I the only thing I would say is that the AI refs would just do the same thing that, like, Adam Silver would program, like, all right, what? Like, I'm saying, like, I don't think the issue is, like, we need better referees. It's that we need a more sensible manner in which the game is officiated, in the sense that, like, let's say, I understand the superstar system is going to exist forever. Superstars get calls, what have you. But when you literally allow this team to be super physical, but not others, it's like, what type of message is that sending? And then you find me when I bring it up, that's gaslighting.
That's all. I get where you're coming from. It's a good point. It's a good take. It's a great gift. I would sooner just do away with this whole conversation. And then if it was automated, then there would be no, that's it. That's everything. Jeff, you go and then we'll go one more round and we gotta get out of here.
Yes, sir. I would like to gift Adam Silver and the league office a calendar. so that we can look at the days and figure out when should we plan for games after this wonderful NBA Cup competition. What should we, how do we make it so that the team that plays this nebulous 83rd game that exists within its own league, that's what people don't really get when they say it doesn't count. It exists within its own league.
Yes, yes.
It's the only game that exists in the NBA Cup league and alone.
Yes.
The Cup group stage and the semis, it all exists within this league, but it has dual citizenship with the NBA league. But that one game exists by itself. So how do we ensure that if two teams qualify for this once in a lifetime game, a season, right? Once in a season game, that they're not playing three games in four nights upon the end of that game at all. In fact, I would love to look at this calendar. Maybe it'll be a Gregorian calendar, you know, like maybe it'll be something where we can figure out, hey, maybe we don't need to play back-to-backs at all, at all. Or maybe it's one back-to-back a month. Maybe it's five per team, and we can space this out.
Or all back-to-backs are at home, at least, or something.
Or, like, yeah, the minimized travel. Oh, and maybe I'll include a travel itinerary in there. Because I don't understand why a team has to play at home, then fly to the West Coast, then just to come right back home to play a Christmas game, then fly right back out to the West Coast, and then fly back out to the East Coast. I want to know how logistically that makes sense.
I hate to do this because I think he's done some nice things as a commissioner, and I very much appreciate that it is a job that is about 100 times harder than it we probably make it out to be.
For sure.
But can we gift Adam Silver a set of balls and do what is best? I mean, I understand you work for the 30 owners. The 30 owners want you to make money for them, and thus your job is to make money. You are also the closest thing that the sport has to a shepherd of the sport. Mm-hmm. And to actually take a stand and be like, I'm not saying he should be taking money out of anybody's pockets, but figure out a way to just do away with back-to-backs. Like you're telling me there's no way to do away with back-to-backs? Come on. Like,
I think if you listen, the scheduling isn't easy, but it's like,
no one's saying it is easy, Sean, yeah, but like, no, where there's a will, there's a way, like, you know?
I said this early on Hoop Spaces, you know, the Knicks, I'm using them as an example. The Knicks played on a Sunday at noon in Madison Square Garden, New York. 2 days later, they went to Toronto. The next day, they flew to Vegas. They're in Vegas for five nights. Yeah. And then they won the NBA Cup. And Don, tell them what they've won. A back-to-back in Indiana and in New York. Like, so they were gone for two. They were gone for 10 days. Half of them in Las fucking Vegas.
And I think they flew back home from Toronto for a day.
Yeah, I think they did.
I'll shoot the league a little bit of bail. Toronto to New York, yes, it's quote unquote international travel.
It's an hour,
but it's going to Philly in a plane. Let's be real. In terms of travel, you could get home in less than an hour.
Yeah, it's a hour
flight. And they're flying private, so.
Listen, man,
it's an inconvenience, but still, imagine if they weren't in New York. Imagine if it was the Magic.
Who had to
go to Toronto and then go back to, they probably wouldn't have went back.
I walk my daughter to the bus. I come back a little winded. You know, we're grown ass men here. Like, this is, it's ridiculous. We don't need to be doing this stuff. All right, one more round each. I this is not gonna be my final gift, but I just, because Sean, you mentioned it before, I also thought about a new owner for the Sacramento Kings, and then I watched that game last night, and I watched how apeshit those Sacramento fans were going. And now they're 7-20, whatever, team winning this game over the Rockets. I'm like, these people are happy as pigs and shit. They deserve Vivek. So my last gift is going to be, do I want to be snarky or do I want to be genuine?
Be you.
So I thought of this and I was like pretty proud of it. So I'm going to go with this. You guys ever see The Fly?
Yes.
Okay. So Jeff Goldblum gets in the machine with the fly, and he eventually becomes Brundlefly, which so he inadvertently invented something where if two entities step into the machine, they join together. And I would like to gift the Brundlefly machine to the Minnesota Timberwolves so they could combine Rudy Gobert, Julius Randle, and Naz Reid to create the perfect center for the modern game and vault to the top of the Western Conference. And I would like to do this for Minnesota because Minnesota has had a tough go of things for the vast majority of their existence as an NBA franchise. So why not gift them something nice? That's my last gift.
That was very thoughtful of you.
I try. And I think that would create a very good NBA player if you combine those three guys.
It would be, listen, they'd be odds on favorites to dethrone Oklahoma City in the West.
And that would be fun. All right, Sean, your last gift, who are you giving it to?
So I have one more class. This is a masterclass session with Eric Spoelstra. Because Eric Spoelstra, I think we all can agree, is the most malleable coach in the league. He's the most adjustment, like he will adjust as well as anybody will. And I would take that masterclass session with Eric Spoelstra, and I would give it to Steve Kerr. Because Steve Kerr.
Oh, man. Why got to do him like that?
Because Steve Kerr. Now, listen, I understand that, look, you have Steph Curry. And you're going to ride the Steph Curry train until the wheels fall off because he's Steph freaking Curry. But the most underrated part of the quote unquote two timelines not working in Golden State was the fact that Steve Kerr was like, y'all gonna run my shit. And yeah. I will make absolutely positively no, I will yield to you kids for nobody.
Yeah.
Basically, he is tied. He's like, I'm just riding with Steph to the point where, listen, I'm not going to say that Jonathan Kuminga
is
a superstar in the making if he played differently. But the fact that he's clearly a young, talented player with lots of upside, and Steve Kerr has basically said, F you, do what I tell you to do in the name of my protector, Wardell Stephen Curry. And it's like, I understand you want to hang on to this guy, like have everything revolve around him, but there has to be some sort of malleability because Spoelstra would have recognized, all right, in order for me to win, I need to get something out of this kid. So let me figure out a way to put this kid in the best position to succeed. Well, and Steve Kerr is not, and then Kuminga is the most like this prime example, but it's clear. He's just like, no, we're staying on this road and we're not going to deviate. And the car is going to run off the road. I think he's fine. He would, to quote Billy Hoyle, he'd rather look good and lose than look bad and win.
Thankfully for the rest of the league, there's only one Eric Spoelstra, and that's all I have to say about that. Although his coach of the year chances are not looking quite as good as they were earlier in the year. All right, Jeff, quick one because I got to get out of here. What's your last gift?
I'd like to gift the league a complimentary membership into Power Slap with the chance to go up against Dylan Brooks.
Oh, my God.
Because this man is a menace. He's been on a tear.
And I
feel like if you can't get along, then it's time to get it on. And let's just do Power Slap. Let's get in the ring. Let's do some Paul Joshua or something like that. Somebody walk away, you know, with a jaw that's misaligned. Like, let's just get it on at this point. Like, y'all just need a fight. Like, slap box, wrestle, Power Slap, something. Like, I got to do something because at this point, enough is enough. I mean, Bron about to fight, Steph about to fight.
Bro.
Like, yo, Dylan Brooks is terrorizing the league.
There's going to be a time, hopefully many years from now, where like players like Dylan Brooks like are just not in the NBA anymore, where those guys are just going to be gone. I don't want to live in that world. I love the fact that there are Dylan Brookses around because it just makes things more fun. And that's
incredible. For sure. Yeah, that's the essence. That's the essence. You got to have a antagonizer. You got to have somebody that's ready to like start trouble. So
it's always fun, man. And this is always fun. Thank you for doing the show a little earlier today, guys. Very special Christmas episode here. Really excited that we were able to do it. Going to be just like Thanksgiving week. It's going to be a little bit of a lighter week because it is the holidays, trying to spend a little time with the fam. But I just want to shout out, we have over 1,000 people watching right now. most of which I know are watching on Twitter. I'm going to make my plea that I've been doing every week, but I'm going to do it again. If you dig the show, if you like the content that we provide, do us a favor. Head on over to YouTube, subscribe to NBA Takedown on YouTube, and set your alerts so you know when you go live. Maybe if you don't happen to be on Twitter at that moment, you'll still get a ding like, hey, the Takedown guys are going live. Let me go check out what they're talking about. And then obviously, if you would be so kind as to follow us wherever you get your podcasts, and if you want to go ahead and leave a review or a five-star rating, that would be even nicer. That would be a delightful Christmas present to us. Especially that we've been, you know, working hard on the show and bringing great content for you. Sean, last word.
Listen, again, let's be among the first to say Merry Christmas to everyone and be safe. And remember, if you drink your eggnog, do not drink expired eggnog.
Jeff, last word.
Yeah, happy holidays to you and yours. Enjoy it. Be safe. Be happy. And let's get to 2026 on 2 feet.
Well, that's amen to that. I got nothing to add. Thanks, everybody, for checking out another episode of NBA Takedown. We'll be back with more funny games before you know it. Peace out.